So, hello everybody. I'm talking about Doc, GNU Awk. And like it says, we're extending it really because we can. It's really look at it and say, do we need to? And the answer is it doesn't matter. It's there, so we're going to go ahead and do it. So just for a little bit of background, we have a short timeline of the C standards of the start of Unix and the start of time in 1970, which was in assembly, and then it switched to C. In 1978, KNRC was as established as it was with the C programming language book. In 1989, we got an actual ANSI C with the C89 flag, and then we have a couple other ones every couple years. New things that get added that make things, everything works better, things are more defined, there's a lot less undefined behavior going on. And compare that with a short timeline of awk. It appeared in 1977, 1988-ish, at a whole bunch of things. Unix System 5 came out with a new awk version, and the second awk book apparently was about the same time for the first release of GNU awk. And then 40-ish years later, we got the second awk programming language book. So looking at a short overlap of the two, we have Unix was rewritten in C. We got awk. C was, we got KNRC, got the new awk, got ANSI C, and I've been told we're here in 2025 now. So really, when you're looking at awk, you're also looking backwards in time back at KNRC, and you end up with a lot of things that just look at and say, and who thought that was a good idea? So I guess a little bit about me before I move on and go on with that. I did the first programming language that, other than BASIC and QBASIC, that stuck with me was I did a C and C++ class in the early 2000s. And then comparing that back with the C timeline, looking at C99 or so, wasn't that much. There were newer things, but that's, it ends up being a, I always thought of it as my happy place, and playing with awk, I realized I wasn't so happy after all with that. But it's about where I fell back to normally, which was part of why I ended up trying to do this. So with awk, you end up with a collection of pattern action pairs. You have a condition and an action. And so the condition can be, and we'll go on to that afterwards, but there's a whole bunch of options for conditions, and action is whatever you want, written in basically KNRC. And you can also run things before and after using a begin or end block. And as in KNRC, everything is optional. So you could have nothing, and that's a valid program, or just begin, or just end, or just the conditions, or just the actions. So other than the begin and end, where you can have one of each, the different patterns are expressions or regular expressions. You can combine them together with ands or ors. You can have ranges in the patterns. You get all sorts of, you get some options with all of those. So what did I do with this one? This one, I was looking for the word the. So it just begins with prints. Print the frequency of the word the. So here we're searching for the. We have our regular expression with the T's. So we look for capital and lowercase ones. Here, line count. I'm not declaring line count. I'm not declaring what kind of, that it's an integer. I use it and it springs into existence. It starts at zero. It's just there. This one here with I equals zero, that one actually, without that, you cycle through when you're checking here NF is number of fields. So for example, searching through here, the pattern syntax uses regex. That's 5, but you've already searched everything in this line, so you're already at 2, 4, 6, 7-ish. So you get here, you're at I equals 8 or so. You're not searching anything anymore, so you actually have to reset it. So you end up with a bunch of things where you can just say, it, you know, line count springs into existence when I want it, but you know, unless you actually initialize it, you end up with running into problems. Same thing with the semicolons at the end of lines. You actually don't need them. So I don't know if anyone was actually counting the number of times that the occurred. So looks like the occurred on 2 lines and 5 times. And then using grep-c for the grep agrees that it was on 2 different lines. So I'm not going to go back. I'm just going to assume that that was actually the case. I don't remember where it was with that. FizzBuzz, you know, I mean, like it says, you print fizz if it's number line, if it's divisible by 3, buzz if it's divisible by 5, both if it's divisible by both of them. So you know, no pattern, and so just go straight into the action here between 9 and 15, and NR is number of record. It counts how many, basically how many lines you've gone through so far while reading. So we just say if it's, you know, if NR modulo 3 is divisible by 0, if the remainder is 0, then you know, add on fizz. If it's 5, add on buzz, and then print the output line, and you know, again, back at 11, we reset it again to the line number with the space. So here, there's no concatenating strings. We just have output equals output fizz or buzz. There's no plus, there's no dot, there's no concatenation. It's just there. You have a white space between it, and it gets merged in together. And you know, we see that it looks like it works. But yeah, so it's ended up looking at the manual constantly to figure out how does this exactly work. So there are some built-in variables that you end up with. I don't think this was the full list. This was the list at least in the first awk book. We have number of records. File number of records was, this was if you were reading multiple files, then if the first file had 100 records, the second file had 100 records, the third record of the second file would have an FNR of 3 and a NR of 103. Other ones, number of fields, file name, field separator and record separator. So using this as an example, with the FS, there's an actual string for, not string, I guess regex for what the field separators are. But the space between the D and the S in field separator is a break, and between the FS and the field, all of that space counts as one break. So you don't end up with a problem like you would if you were to split that with cut. We'd say, well, okay, let me count how many spaces there are between FS and field. You say, here's a white space, plus dash is one field, FS is one field is one field, separator is one field. So you can go and change that to use commas if you wanted to use CSV or other things like that. Record separator default is a new line, but you can actually set it to say 2 new lines. And then if you just have a paragraph of things, you can say, well, this 4-line segment is one record, and then you separate it differently. And you can parse addresses that way. And then you can also set the output field separator and stuff for actually printing at the end. You can make self-contained awk scripts, dash F, and we're actually using short flags because that's the way it is. and it really does just print itself. Seems I pressed the wrong direction. Then, I guess in terms of actually extending it, there were a couple of ways. This one, we're switching the case letter by letter of the incoming text. So there is a two upper and two lower function. So I for the array, we're splitting $0 is the full incoming text. We're splitting it into the array my input and iterating through it. And if it's capital, make it lowercase. If it's lowercase, make it capital. Print it out at the end. So here's the actual Here's the actual code for switching the cases. So comparing, so here 10 through 15, we say we're checking my input. We're checking, is it lowercase, make it uppercase, otherwise make it lowercase. I went the wrong way again. Here we're saying we're passing it through this function called switcher, which we've brought out here into switcher.awk, where 2 through 6 or 7 is the same function. We're just going to, we've pulled it out and put it in a separate file. And so we'd say, gawk-f, our second file, and we're including the switcher one that we've pulled out. And we can actually use awk path to say, actually, all of my library code is in this file, is in this directory called include. Just use dash I, switcher.awk in this case. So default awk path is user local share awk, and Piotr has me here with the time. You can search everything there. You can write a library and actually just stick it there and reference it from other things. And it can get switched based on the prefix as how you've compiled gawk. The other one that's different specific to gawk is awk libpath, where you have user local libgawk instead of user local share awk. And so these ones are actually compiled files, and they are loaded instead of included. So the difference here would be, very similar to the previous one, except here on line 3 we have at load switcher, which is a library that I've written for this, and we're doing the same output equals output C switcher, my input I. And so beginning we have, according to gawkapi.h, just a series of includes because it includes literally nothing just in case you're using an old system that doesn't have any of those. I've just put in the notes beginning of header, end of header because of how it works. So we've gone and declared the functions that I was going to make. And then here's the bottom part of the file. It registers it. And there's no initialization required when running the function. So it adds switcher to the function table. And then in terms of actually switching the thing, this one actually ended up running into all sorts of issues and ended up being, where I said C actually, it turns out, isn't my happy place. There is the two upper, two lower, and ways to compare, but I ended up doing it this way. So the main part here is, other than here on 23 where we have the defining the function, we have our actual, we're getting our argument, which is an awk string, and we're extracting the first letter because we know we're passing it letter by letter, and we're using KNRC so we can literally do whatever we want. So we're just going to ignore that it's a string, pretend it's a character array, and grab our letter. And then we're going to test it out. I had some magical thing I ran into that I couldn't get to work. So I recreated a awk string and stuck my letter back in the magic spot where I said it was going to be. And I ran, and suddenly it started working, almost. So I got my A, B, C, D, E, 1, 2, 3 to switch, and then I ran it through again, and I have a double free. So I'd love to know where it was. I don't think I'm going to return to that code. That's 23-ish, 24 lines. I've managed to make a double free error. So lots of fun with that. But I mean, everything is in gawkapi.h. When you install Gawk, it includes the API header. And it gives you, it tells you all of the things that you can get with it. So this one was the aux string. It has a string and the length. Number types are either doubles or MPFR number thingies for the fancier math. All numbers are doubles, which becomes fun. This one was the loading the function. I'm going to skip that. Is it a number or a string? The answer is yes. It is a number and a string. An awk value is what awk works on. And you can see it is, I mean, you can declare what it is, but it's a string and a number and an array, and it can also be a scalar or a Boolean. It is all of them, depending on how you interact with it. I'm gonna skip that part. There are some fun programs written in Gawk. Translate shell checks, uses curl to do translation in the terminal, and so it does it.
Hey, Frame, I think we have to stop.
Okay, we'll say check that out. Shepherd run, I wrote and had lots of fun with that. Yeah. Let me switch quickly to...
You got it done, really.
Oops. And there's Gawk Extlib, which I did not make a slide for, but here there's a collection of extensions for working with Postgres or with CSVs or with JSON or Redis XML, everything, and people working together to actually create libraries to work with this that work generally with the at load function. And you think, well, who would do this? And go ahead, have fun. Look out for double free errors.
Awesome. Geeks awk, right?
Mm-hmm.